Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's installment of the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. We're glad you tuned in. We welcome your input, too. Join us by calling 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Everyone wants to know the secret. You know, the secret to health, the secret to wealth, the secret to successful relationships, the secret to making a fortune on Wall Street, the secret to maintaining your perfect weight. The list is simply endless. So when Rhonda Byrne informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life, the world took notice, particularly because she got a platform on Oprah Winfrey's show. And so within weeks, The Secret topped bestseller lists and morphed into just one more cultural phenomenon. In fact, Oprah dubbed The Secret life-changing. She said, the thoughts and the feelings that you put out into the world, whether good or bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you. So you have the life that you have created. As contributing authors to The Secret have made plain, in concert with what Oprah said, the victims of suffering and tragedy apparently attracted those circumstances to their lives. Thoughts, in this view, are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad. For Rhonda Byrne, the genie is the law of attraction, the law of the universe, the catalog of the universe, as she calls it. Unfortunately, pop culture has beckoned, and postmodern Christians have taken the bait. For Joel Osteen, it is the word of faith, and therefore he's committed to the notion that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, people can create their own realities. The moment you speak something out, says Joel Osteen, you give birth to it. So for Osteen, words are downright magical. Now this is a warning that Christians now are taking pop culture and packaging it. And unless you are biblically literate, you will fall for the ruse. We need to be so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. And that is the work of the Christian Research Institute. If you go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, you can trust the materials that are there. They're biblically sound, biblically based, and they'll help you think biblically and Christianly. So rather than being a microcosm of the world, you'll be able to make a difference in the world as a change agent. So I invite you to join the Christian Research Institute, a team of people making a difference for time and for eternity. Our team members not only work inside the walls of the Christian Research Institute, but also outside those walls as those that support this ministry prayerfully and financially. Right now, I'm in the midst of working on one of the most important books of my life, and I'm going to use that book, Has God Spoken, to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. But I'm so excited about this book, I can't even wait until it's published to share it with you. So I've asked my team to prepare a helpful excerpt from part two of the book titled The Archaeologist's Spade as a special sneak peek booklet. And we're printing it just for praying, giving friends like you an appreciation of your continued support this month. The Archaeologist's Spade lays out for you many archaeological truths that biblical minimalists don't want you to know. We've printed it just for you as a sneak peek at what you're going to find later on in my book, Has God Spoken, when it's released next year. All I ask is that you continue your support of the Christian Research Institute today with a gift of any amount that the Holy Spirit leads you to give, and I'll put a copy of The Archaeologist's Spade in the mail to you right away. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go to Duvall first today, listening on the web in New Jersey. Hi, Duvall.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Yeah, God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
You are profound. Thank you for taking my call. I just really have one question pertaining to a Vernon Howard. I think they have a New Life Foundation. You know, I read a couple of his books or booklets. I just like to know your opinion on that, because I'm pretty much I do a lot of listening to you as to what cults are and what cults are not. I would respect your opinion on Vernon Howard.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard?
Yeah, he's the founder of New Life Church, and it is a muddy mixture of esoteric syncretism, Christianity mixed with Eastern mysticism, with transcendentalism. In his view, the world does not exist. It is a figment of our imagination. I mean, that's the logical outworking of his theology. But yet he will tell you that what you want also wants you. So if you seek the celestial also seeks you. And therefore, there are no unanswered requests in the universe. The universe, very much like Rhonda Byrne that I was talking about at the opening, the universe becomes your catalog. And thoughts become the key to unlocking the catalog of the universe. And that's why he can say things like there are no unanswered requests in the universe, because you're either going to get a yes request by having the right kind of thoughts and a no request by having the wrong kind of thoughts. And, you know, the way that works for these new thought metaphysical practitioners is very much like what I was talking about with this Rhonda Byrne in The Secret. She says to transform yourself from fat to thin, you have to think thin thoughts, and you can't look at fat people. If you see people who are fat, don't look at them, because you'll get fat too. And she says now she's at the perfect weight of 116 pounds, and she can eat whatever she wants, because it is an error to think that food is responsible for weight gain. Rather, it is your thoughts and what you're looking at that is responsible for your weight gain. This is at first silly, but it's also very, very dangerous, because to suggest that you can eat whatever you want and it's not going to affect you in some way simply does not fly with science. So it's a dangerous, it's basically new thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. It's not something that a Christian would want to involve themselves in, nor any rational secular person.
Okay. I've read some books by him, and I realize I'm not compelled to follow him one way or another. So I didn't put it into a category of a cult. I'm not compelled to follow this, but I found some things that he said was pretty interesting in a certain sense.
Yeah, and this is the thing that they do, though. I mean, if Satan would present error in its naked deformity, would you buy into it? Of course not. So he's going to make it look good, sound good. That's why discernment skills are so critically important in our epoch of time, because we are being swept here and there by winds and waves of doctrine, and we're living in an age of information overload, and it's very hard sometimes for people to see through the ruse to the reality of what is being peddled.
Right. So in your opinion, what would you say? It's
really, really bad. It's New Thought metaphysics and unfortunately being packaged for general consumptions.
Mm-hmm. As far as Christian is concerned, we should not, we should caution ourselves?
Not just caution ourselves, but we should be on red alert. And, you know, you learn to wear the baloney detector, because this guy's full of baloney.
Thank you.
You got it. Like to put it straight. Thank you for your question. You know, you think about these people like Rhonda Byrne or this New Life Church and the teachings that Vernon Howard communicates or blathers about. I mean, at first it seems really silly, but there's a present danger in the reasoning. Just as followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat themselves, so too they must avoid cancer victims by logical extension for fear of contracting cancer, or poor people for fear of becoming poor. In other words, you should avoid the very people Jesus exhorts us to care for. Do not so much as look at them, according to the Secret. That's the dark underbelly. And so what looks shiny is really an empty bauble. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark Joel, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi. Hi, Mark. Hello? I don't think we're getting through here. Hey, Mark, you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. If we're made of dust, what are angels made of?
Well, angels aren't made of anything, actually. Angels are non-physical, so they don't have physical characteristics. You know, you have a mind, Mark Joel, and your mind is not physical. Your brain's physical, but your mind is not physical. And so there are things in the universe that are non-physical, and angels are non-physical. But the fact that they're non-physical does not mean that they're not real. Just as your mind is real, angels are real.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay.
Okay. How old are you, Mark? Mark, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven. Well, thanks for calling me.
Okay.
God bless you, buddy.
Thanks.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Carl, listening on WTRU in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I tell you what I appreciate about you. Let's say when someone gives a message, it's 75% the way they say it and 25% just the content. But the way you communicate, your content is so great.
Well, thank you. You're kind.
It really is. And who I wanted to ask you about was Michael Brown. He's got a radio show called The Line of Fire, maybe others. Just what you thought about his, he really thinks Israel still has a lot to do with the return of the Lord. And he calls people who don't think to have the Jews have anything to do with it any more replacement theologians. I hope I'm communicating that halfway right.
Yeah, I think it's an unfortunate language. I like Michael Brown as a person, but I think that's unfortunate language. I think that in both cases, replacement theology is unwarranted. Michael Brown has his own replacement theology. He believes that the church is going to be replaced by Israel and the plan of God. And there are other people who believe that Israel is going to be has been replaced by the church. But in both cases, I think that the mistake is not recognizing that true Israel is the church, and the church is true Israel. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a racist. If you go to the Old Testament, You have an amalgamation of people from every tongue and tribe and language and nation who are true Israel. That's why we can call Ruth true Israel. We can call Rahab true Israel. That's why we can say in Esther that when the nations look on and they see Esther sovereignly raised up by God to save the Jews from certain destruction, many people from many nations become Jews. Well, they do that because they're brought into all the types and shadows looking forward to Jesus Christ. So I think, unfortunately, this replacement theologian kind of nonsense has taken on a life of its own, and there are now people like John Hagee saying that replacement theologians are carrying Hitler's anointing in his message. I think it's unfortunate rhetoric. I appreciate Michael Brown, however, because he does not engage in these kinds of ad hominems. Be right back.
In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. We know that a monthly gift is a big commitment. Not only is it a financial sacrifice, but when life itself gets busy, it can be hard remembering to send your gift each month. And that's why we've created simple, secure, automated giving opportunities through your credit or debit card. And to thank you for this service that you perform that is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. To sign up today to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Learn to have a real relationship with the lover of your soul with Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus. Available on audio CD or in paperback with study guide as a thank you for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you visit us on the web at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.
2002 article for Harper's Magazine called False Statement: Archaeology Refutes the Bible's Claim to History, journalist Daniel Lazar claims King David was at best a, quote, petty hilltop chieftain, or possibly never existed at all. Lazar was counting on us being unfamiliar with the Tel Dan Stele and its significance. Discovered in 1993, this inscribed stone slab proves the Bible's historical reliability when speaking of the extensive reign of King David and the continuation of his royal lineage. The Archaeologist's Spade, a special preview booklet of excerpts from Hank Hanegraaff's upcoming work titled Has God Spoken, lays out for you many archaeological truths biblical minimalists don't want you to know. Resources like this and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are a team effort. That's not just CRI's great staff of researchers, editors, and technicians. You are a part of the team yourself when you join with us through your generous gifts. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to join the team with your gift today. Now back to Hank Hanegraaff and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are holding Harold Camping's feet to the fire again. We did it when he prophesied that Christ would return September 6, 1994. Back then, he was absolutely certain that I was going to be proven wrong and he was going to be proven right. And when I said that his prophecy was nonsense, he simply retorted that I was part of the growing apostasy. In his view, anyone that didn't believe his prediction would come true was denying the truth of the Bible. Well, he's at it again. And now the new date is May 21st, 2011. Well, we started a countdown on our web just like we did years ago. And we're all the way down to 227 days. And I promise you, in 227 days, Harold Camping is going to come up with a new story. The last way he came up with a date was by prophesying that 2,000 demon-possessed pigs meant 2,000 years. Now it's 7,000 years of Earth history, and he's got a kind of convoluted plan on how all of this works out. He's put out not only a pamphlet, but an absolute guarantee that this time he is right. And of course, the pamphlet has morphed into a book. The end of the world is almost here, he says. Holy God will bring Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. Great big bold letters. And he is now guaranteeing that this time he is right. And I am guaranteeing that once again he is wrong. In the process, he is deluding people that seem to want to follow the sensational, the sophist, the selling of books, the titillating of people's interest, the itching of their ears. So they run here and there after this prophecy pundit or the other, whether it's Tim LaHaye with his Left Behind books or John Hagee. It's all nonsense, because the Bible does not tell us when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return. It does tell us that he will appear a second time, and you can bank on that because all biblical prophecy has come into pass exactly as prophesied in the Bible. Therefore, we know that the Bible is trustworthy, but the people that are prostituting the Bible today are not. Guaranteed 100%, Harold Camping is wrong, and so are all of the other pretenders. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ron, listening on Bot Radio in Oklahoma. Hi, Ron.
Hi there, Hank.
Hi.
I got a question about Judah ben Samuel, who supposedly prophesied 300 years before the overtaking of Israel by the Turks, and prophesied about the no man's land there in Israel and supposedly the coming of Christ. And I would just want your take on that, gentlemen.
Well, I mean, he's been dead for many, many centuries. I think he lived in the 1200s. But his prophecies are just as faulty as Harold Camping's, because they're based on faulty presuppositions. In fact, he had a presupposition related somehow, or at least has been related somehow, to World War I in 1914. And this is the same kind of nonsense, unfortunately, that we are now seeing peddled by Tim LaHaye, where he shows an unusually fertile imagination by forwarding the notion that the generation who heard the Austrian declaration of World War I in 1914 would not pass away before Christ's second coming. He must be having cold shudders at this point, because not many of that generation are still alive.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know, we had a minister come into our local church and was speaking about him, and been listening to you for 2 or 3 years now, and I really take what you say to gospel, because I do tether it back to the Bible. And I couldn't find anything in the Bible about this guy, or even, well, I just couldn't find anything else on it. And I just wanted your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got the date set at 2017. At least that are those are the calculations based on his teaching. So he's got a little more leeway to keep people kind of interested in this. Of course, he's dead, so it doesn't bother him. And you know, this is the thing that happens. These prophecy pundits come and go. They die off. Harold Camping may die before the prophecy comes to fruition. But unfortunately, people are being harmed in the process. I mean, I think it's more likely that Harold Camping will die before the end game of his own prophecy than that that prophecy will come true.
I see. All right. Well, don't we need to take up much more of your time. I thank you, brother, and you have a godly day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Keith. Keith is listening on Bot Radio in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Keith. Hello, Keith. Let's go to Matt, listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Matt.
Hey there, Hank. Just a question for you about the usefulness of the argument that the Bible is divine because it's historically accurate. I mean, there's many, many books out there that are historically accurate, but they're certainly not divine. So of what use is that argument in proving the divinity of the Bible?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, we're building a cumulative case by saying that God has marvelously preserved his word through the manuscript evidence, and that what is found in the soil corresponds to what is found in the scriptures. Therefore, the details, the people, the places, the particulars have reality. They're rooted in history and evidence. And I'm contrasting that with other religious writings that make claims, but they're factually inaccurate. For example, the Book of Mormon makes claims. Both from the standpoint of archaeology and anthropology, we find out that the claims are false. Whereas there have been people who have denied biblical realities from a historical perspective. As you probably well know, the Assyrians were considered to be mythological until Layard, the great Assyriologist, began digging along the Tigris River and unearthed Nineveh. Now everyone knows that the Bible is correct in communicating the magnificent empire known as the Assyrian Empire, with its great king, Sargon, Ashurbanipal, and the like. So it is a verification that the skeptic was wrong and the Bible was right. I mean, this is the same thing that the skeptic used to say with respect to such things as the Hittites being mythological. Well, the Bible is rooted in the notion that there are Hittites. Abraham bought a burial plot for his wife Sarah from a Hittite. And therefore, if the Hittites are mythological, then the Bible is rooted in myth and error as opposed to in reality. And there are people today saying that King David is nothing more than a religious conceit. We believe it is true because we believe it is true, but not because it is, in fact, true. Well, now there are archaeological discoveries that, as Time magazine recently put it, call into question David deniers and say that it is very hard to continue holding their particular position.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
All right, thanks.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan. He's listening on KFIA in Stockton, California. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I visited a church last week, and they practiced closed communion. They wouldn't let me commune. Is that biblical?
Well, I think what's biblical is that a pastor makes very clear to anyone who is involved in a church service in which the bread and the cup is given in communion, that people know that they are not to take that precious sacrament in an unworthy fashion. I think that's what's biblical. So I think there's a real responsibility on the part of the church to do what Paul did, make sure people do not practice the sacrament in an unworthy fashion, not properly considering the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sins. My personal take on it is that as long as the pastor does due diligence and gives the warnings that the Scripture gives about not partaking in communion in an unworthy fashion, then the responsibility has been properly carried out, and then anyone who so will should be able to take communion. But this is a matter of ecclesiology, and some churches simply practice closed communion. Other churches do what I've just communicated. They let people know that this is a serious matter. This is not something to be entered into in a cavalier fashion, because we're doing this in remembrance of him, his broken body, shed blood for the complete remission of sins.
Now, you say in an unworthy manner. I mean, I know the Scripture. Is that meaning knowing what it's about? Because anybody who takes it, of course, they're going to sin. We're all sinners.
Yeah, it's not just knowing what it's about. Yes, and you're absolutely right, we are all sinners, but it is heeding the admonition that you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with respect to communion. So whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is a pretty serious admonition by any stretch or any standard. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Written about that in various forums. Get more information through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But again, this is a matter of ecclesiology or church government that's ultimately rooted or should be rooted in a proper understanding of the Scripture, particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Please don't touch that dial.
The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff could very well change your mind about coming events and why a proper understanding of biblical prophecy matters so much. The Apocalypse Code addresses today's most asked prophecy questions, but more than that, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. Yet this book does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it provides a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. Now available in softcover, you can order your copy at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or online at equip.org. Stay tuned, because the Bible Answer Man will return after this.
In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. We encourage you to become a Bible Answer Man support team member through a monthly giving commitment. To thank you, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. For more information on a simple way to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Many Bible minimalists claim there is little or no evidence to support the historical accounts in the Bible. Even the royal status of King David is brought into question in an article published by a popular magazine. How much do we really know about the ancient Middle East, the time of Christ, and other historical accounts in the Bible? Hank Hanegraaff gives you important archaeological truths demonstrating the historical reliability of the Bible in a new booklet, The Archaeologist's Spade, which is a sneak peek excerpt from his book forthcoming in 2011 titled, Has God Spoken? When you become a part of the Christian Research Institute team defending truth and standing with us financially and prayerfully, we'll get a copy of The Archaeologist's Spade in the mail to you right away. To partner with us, call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you've already become a member of our support team, committing to give on a monthly basis, we're deeply grateful for your loyalty and faithfulness. But no one appreciates your generosity more than the people who have a newfound confidence in their faith because of your support. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. To become a regular monthly supporter, part of the backbone of this ministry, you can sign up securely online right now at equip.org. That's equip.org, or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Now back to more of the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Let's go next to Keith, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hank, my daughter and I were having a discussion, and she asked me the question, being that God created everything, who created God? Or where did God come from? I have a hard time really trying to. I know there may not be a explanation. I don't know, at least that I can give. But I wanted to know if you could kind of help me in how to explain that to her. And what can I, and another thing, Hank, what can you tell me what I could lead my daughter to scripturally to help kind of make light of this subject?
Yeah. Well, here's the way to explain it. According to modern science, as well as according to the Bible, the universe had to have a beginning. So it's absolutely true today that biblically and scientifically, the universe had a beginning. And in science, it's called Big Bang cosmology. So if you have a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. And we simply say, from a biblical perspective, it is God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. But the same thing that is true with respect to the universe is not true with respect to God. God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be an uncaused first cause. So putting that in very simple language, God does not have a cause. God always was. And this really works out in an interesting way. To suppose that because the universe had a cause, that the cause of the universe had to have a cause, leads to a logical dead end. An infinite regression of finite causes doesn't answer the question of source. It simply multiplies the effects. So simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It didn't spring out of nothing, and it has not eternally existed. But it is not true to say that the cause of the universe has not eternally existed. And that's what we say about God. He's the uncaused first cause. So God never came into being at a point in time. As with the universe, God always was. And again, there's nothing scientific that would in any way undermine that premise. In fact, to undermine that premise doesn't solve the problem whatsoever, because the only thing that the person who doesn't believe in God has to say is the unlikely notion that nothing creates everything, which makes no sense whatsoever.
I understand.
So, Hank, what could I share with my daughter to, you know, like I said, to bring more light to the subject, to kind of, we can both sit down and read and discuss over?
Yeah, well, what you want to communicate is that in the beginning you have God. And right now in our Bible reading plan, my legacy reading plan, we're in the book of John. And John starts his book that way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is communicating that in the beginning, Jesus Christ was. He always existed. And not only did Jesus Christ always exist as the divine creator of the universe, but you can tell your daughter that when you get to verse 14, the Word, or Jesus Christ, was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. So he's not only an unknowable creator of the universe, he is one that she can have a personal and intimate relationship with, because not only did he create the universe, he knit her together in her mother's womb.
Yes. Hank, thank you so much. And I love listening to your ministry, and keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you. And you know one thing you ought to do when you give your beautiful daughter a hug tonight? You should say to her, let's memorize a verse, and then put this verse in her mind. And I think one of the most beautiful verses, and it's very simple to memorize, it's Psalm 92, which says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that in three short sentences sums it all up.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We will do that.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. And now let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Timothy. He's listening in Madison, Tennessee. Hi, Timothy.
Thank you so much for your call.
Hello, Timothy. I can hear myself there in the echo, but I guess Timothy's not there.
Hi, Mr. Hank.
Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
I have a question. I'm good. I have a question.
Yeah?
If there was no sin in heaven, how did sin get in Lucifer?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Timothy. How old are you, by the way? How many years old are you?
Okay.
Huh?
Yes.
How many years old are you?
Seven.
Wow, this is my lucky day because I had two seven-year-olds. And you know, kids always ask the best question, Timothy, so thank you for calling. But here's how this works. God created angels just like he created human beings like you. He created angels and human beings with choice. And so God created perfect angels, but he wanted them to love him, not because they were forced to love him, but because they wanted to love and obey him, which is the same thing that your mom and dad wants with you. They want you to love them, not because they're forcing you to love them, but because you want to love them. So when you give your dad or your mom a kiss before you go to bed, it's not because they're say, if you don't give me a kiss, Timothy, I'm going to beat you up. They want you to give them that kiss because you love them, because then that kiss really means something to them. And that's the same way. God created angels in such a way that they could love him and serve him, or they could choose to disobey and rebel against him. So they had freedom of choice. And as I just explained to you, Timothy, without that kind of freedom of choice, love doesn't really mean a whole lot. Now, the angels didn't all do the same thing. Some of the angels rebelled against God. They didn't want to love and obey him. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to disobey him because they thought they knew better. And sometimes even kids think that they know better than their parents, but later on when they grow up, they think, my mom and dad knew what they were talking about. And that's the same thing. Satan and the angels rebelled against God, but you know what? They knew what they were doing because they had a lot of knowledge and they were in the presence of God, and still they chose to disobey God. And that's how sin entered the world. That's where sin comes into heaven and earth. That's why the universe was polluted by sin, because angels chose to disobey God. And then Adam and Eve did the same thing. God gave them the ability to choose, and they chose to do the wrong thing. And as a result, we now have sin in the world. But the beautiful story, Timothy, of the Bible is that God has given us a way out of sin. And that way out of sin is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes into our heart, then we have perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ in us that covers us so that we can have a relationship with God again. So the Bible not only tells us how sin came into the world, but how our hearts can be made pure from sin again through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And your mom and dad can explain that to you pretty well, I'm sure. Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Timothy, thank you for calling me.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Bless you, buddy. I tell you, when you have calls from kids, and I have 12 of them, it always touches your heart. But I think there's a big message in that. Kids have questions. And if their questions aren't answered, what are they going to think? Maybe there isn't a good answer to my question. Maybe this whole Christian thing doesn't make sense. And I can relate to that because I grew up thinking that maybe Christianity didn't make sense. And then when I went to school and I heard that I evolved from a monkey, I started thinking, ah, so Adam wasn't created by God. Adam evolves from a monkey. So the Bible is wrong in its first page, and if the foundation is cracked, the rest of the Bible is no doubt distorted. And so I set off to live life by the dictates of my own will rather than turning and following Jesus Christ and making him Savior and Lord of my life. Fortunately, by God's grace, he made himself real to me. And when I looked at the Christian faith, I discovered that there is a God, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is the Word of God. And today, Jesus Christ is more real to me than the flesh on my bones. So I've purposed at the very earliest ages to make sure that my children have good answers to their questions, that they know, even if I don't have the answer to a question that they're asking me, I'll research and return. And guess what happens? In the process of being an evangelist, even to my kids, I'm driven into education. And I find the answer, and no doubt someone's going to ask me the same question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and this time I'll have the answer. That's how we learn and how we grow and how we develop and how we become ever more useful tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to stay in studio once again today for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue taking your calls, so if you're hanging on, I will answer your question. If you're dialing in, the number to get your question answered for the next hour is 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. So you can start calling 888-ASK-HANK right now, and for the next hour, I'll answer your questions. Thanks for those that support this ministry and are touching lives around the globe. God bless you.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. And now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Archaeologists are regularly unearthing new discoveries about the ancient world. Who lived where and when? What life was like at specific times in history? But according to some rather vocal skeptics, there is little or no historical evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Are these skeptics right? Is the evidence so lacking that we can no longer trust the Bible as the divine word of God? Hank Hanegraaff dispels these myths and gives you a simple and memorable tool to know for certain that the Bible is the most reliable book in all antiquity in the archaeologist's spade. Our gift to you when you partner with the Christian Research Institute to defend the truth of the Bible. Help defend the truth with your gift and request the special booklet equipping you with the historical facts for the reliability of Scripture. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to request your copy today.